The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
Okay, I like being in church. It's fun. I have two messages I will preach today, one in the first service, the other one in the second service. We'll be looking at different things. In the second service, I'll be talking about the laws of promotion. The laws of promotion. Many of us want to be promoted, but and I will need people to get those books. Normally, I like to say people should buy. The books are there to buy. But if you want to get about 10, 20, 50 for people, please meet me after the service so that we could sign. I will do some book signing outside. I really want people. And if you, especially those of you who are working, whether for government or you're working for people that own businesses, or you are even starting your own business, this is for you and for all. For those of you who have your calling, maybe you're a pastor, and you just feel this message today is for everybody. It's for everybody. Whether you are a student, it's for everybody. And so, in Genesis 2:15, it said, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to walk it and to keep it." To walk it and to keep it. Somebody say walk. That means that work came before the curse. He put him to work it. So today I want to talk about practical steps to thriving in your career. Practical steps to thriving in your career. We need steps. There's a declaration, but you see, Jericho must be taken and there's strategy to take Jericho. And the steps you are going to take sometimes will differ. But principles are general. The presence is specific to you. Amen? And there's seven deadly sins that Mahatma Gandhi discovered. And these are the seven deadly diseases. The first one is wealth without work. People want money without work. They don't want to work, but they want to have money. Some people want pleasure without conscience. And knowledge without character. Commerce or business without morality or ethics. Science without humanity. So people do all type of things today. They extract things from people's body and do so many things that are against the counsel of God. It's science, but there's no humanity. There's politics without principle. And lastly, worship without sacrifice. People want to come to God. There's one day I asked somebody, he said, "Upon how I serve God rich," and I asked him, question, how do you serve God? Really, let's even ask, how do you serve God? You come to church 2 hours every Sunday, less than 1 week a year. Okay, let's even put midweek service. So really, you have been in church for a month in 12 months. And when we're talking about sacrifice, you can't sacrifice. You need to sacrifice your pride. You need to sacrifice to serve. And you are going to serve those that cannot even give you anything. That is religion. And many people want worship without sacrifice. And that's why most times they don't have results in their lives, because these are the sins that beset people. There's another one that his brother discovered. It is called rights without responsibility. Many people want rights, but they don't want to have the responsibility that holds that right. So I need it for myself. It doesn't concern me whether another person does not have it. It is not only essential that you actually enjoy what you do, but also ensure that you contribute wholesomely to your society. This is the calling we're talking about. This is your career. And you must understand it's not about you. In John 10:10, it said, "The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." That means that your business or what you're doing, your career, is supposed to bring about some form of satisfaction and fulfillment. God's desire is for everyone to enjoy their careers. He's very much interested in the work that we do. He's very much interested in the work that we do. He wants you to enjoy it. Work should be enjoyable. People don't like work anymore. They just want pleasure. They just want pleasure, and they can do anything to have pleasure. But you see, there is no wealth without work. My friend KG Hamilton was telling me, he said, those days when I was enshrined with Fela, he said, Fela will stay on his keyboard for 18 hours, practicing. Why? And this is the thing that really is for here and now. Job satisfaction has been sacrificed over and over again on the altar of monetary gain. Why do you do this work? Because I need money. And really, you don't like the job. There has to be a shift in the way we think about our work and productivity. There must be a shift. And I thank God I'm talking to parents here. Many of you are going to raise people. You're going to start raising your children. Will move from the childhood stage. They will enter the teenage stage, and they are trying to find themselves. Most times, we want our children to do what is raining, in quotes. We want our children to do what we like them to do. And we don't want them to do what they were packaged to do. The Bible says, train up a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child the way God packaged the child. I want to also tell you that everybody is creative. Everybody, there's no creative person. There's no non-creative person, because you know why? Once you're born again, or you're created in the image of God and in the likeness of God, God is a creator, so you have your creativity inside of you, packaged inside of you. The only thing is that it has not been fully tapped, it has not been fully harnessed. And we must understand that we must now begin to shift. Shift the way we think, shift the way we view life. Our perspective must change. And there are three elements that make for job satisfaction, or what you call work satisfaction. And the first one is the right purpose. Why am I working? Why am I working? Why am I working? The next one is right perspective. How do I see work? How do I see work? Is it a punishment? Oh, Lord, it is Monday. But you come to say, thank God. The right place. Where can I work? A combination of these three elements will bring about job satisfaction. But I must also warn too, that it is important to know that there is no job on earth designed by God to give 100% satisfaction. No job. And that's what we're doing about the seven wheels of life. If you are not here in the midweek service, please get the message. Trying to make you to plan for the seven areas of your life. The first one, a personal life. Your career life. And we're dealing with that today. Your health. Your relational. Your financial lives. These are the things. Listen, if your job is to give you 100% satisfaction, then God will not make you a father or a mother or put you in a family. There are some things that you need to get from other people. So your job, there are parts of your job that you won't like, because it was not packaged to give you 100% satisfaction. For example, I don't like doing funeral service. But I have to do it. There are some things I don't like doing. Inner healing. But it's needed. My heart breaks when I hear stories. It seems as if they are piercing my heart. But sometimes it's good for you. So there are some parts of your job that will not bring satisfaction. So your job was not packaged to give you 100% satisfaction. Look at me and tell me, I love my work. Say it loud and clear. If you don't like your work, then we need to do something about it. Amen? And so, we need to get to that where we begin to say, the right purpose is why am I working? And all these four, six elements talks about why you are working. Work is God's idea. Work supplies our needs. It supplies our needs. He that does not work, let him not eat. You need to work. And I'm not talking about working to actually get money. But when you work, money will come. Am I making sense at all? When you add value to people, the truth of the matter is that God will begin to add value to you. And work develops my character. It develops your character. Waking up in the morning and having a schedule where you go to, you find out that there's something that is already happening to you. There's a time frame you actually keep. And you must understand that works allows me to be generous. Ephesians 4:28, let him that he still no more, let him work with his hand so that he will have to give. There's God's idea is that when you work, you have something to give to the world. You have money to give to the world. So work allows you to be generous. Your work is an example to others. Apostle Paul said, when we were with you in Thessalonica, we had to work in our own hands because you did not understand that you need to take care of us, but we needed to demonstrate some type of work because maybe Apostle Paul saw them in Thessalonica that by Wednesday, weekend has started for them. In some countries in Africa, Monday morning by 9 a.m., they are drunk. Wednesday, they are at the beach lying down because weekend has started. And people have this ideology that Friday morning went good. Now you take no say weekend go sweet. Did I say it well? But just get that thing like that. What gives you self-respect? It gives you self-respect. There's a tendency you wake up every day, there's a place you go to, or there are things you do. And people ask you, because when you get to a place, the first thing people ask you, so what do you do now? What do you do now? And that's why I tell people there's jobs are scarce, but work is there. Am I making sense? There is what is called the right perspective. How? What is the perspective of God? How do I see work? Work for the Lord. When you are working in a place, you are not working for that business person. You are working for the Lord. Not only that, you work like the Lord. If Jesus was supposed to work for that boss, how would Jesus do it? And expect your reward from the Lord. All those statements, now where did they work, now did they shop? They call it workshop. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. So the perspective, how do I view work? When I go to work for somebody, that's why you see, if you see that work, you are working for the Lord, that means that even if you don't have a job or you have certificate, you can go and meet somebody and say, you know what, can I come and be washing your car? And so, I can come and meet you. Because I see people say, why are you at home? You say, I don't have work. Really? There's work. Wake up in the morning and there's no work, sweep your compound. Add value. It's your father's estate. Once your compound is fully clean, the first day, go to the street. Sweep it. I'm telling you, you see, because you are working for the Lord. And I'm working like the Lord. That's the perspective of work. And my reward does not come from, even my employer pays me $5,000 a month. My reward finally comes from God. The right place, where can I work? Evaluate your past work. What do you love to do? What are the things, where are the places you have worked? Evaluate your abilities. Every human being has up to, an average human being has 500 to 700 abilities. In our 300 level, we talk about your shape. A has to do with abilities. There are many of our young people who are confused because they are so gifted in many areas. We need to start shaping them and say, you know what, it is not everything you do, but begin to prepare. Accept your abilities because they will unfold gradually in your life. You need to evaluate your work environment. There are people you cannot do well in a competitive environment. That's why you can't play sports. Anything that has competition, I can't do well. So even I'm learning how to play golf, I won't play tournament. Why? I just want to enjoy myself and go home. And do exercise. Why? How come we are now competing and say who play pass? It's not my shape. Amen. Some people can do well there. They like that competition. They like that thing. Evaluate how naturally you relate to other people. There are people who are quiet, who are introverts, they are extroverts. And so you need to understand, as you begin to evaluate this, you will now understand, where can I naturally fit in? But I assure you, that type of where God is talking about, and talking about, why do I need to walk, is very important. I believe it's more important than the perspective, or perspective, why I'm working for the Lord. I believe perspective is, I'm working for the Lord. I'm working for, even if I don't know what work is all about, I know that I have been created by God and I need to work for Him and I need to work like Him. God will not, Jesus will not be in a business and leave His work unfinished and go home. Work is not a curse inflicted on mankind. It's really God's idea. Some people believe that work is a curse. Every day, work. Because you know why? You are doing something you're not shaped for, and you are overdoing it. And we'll talk about that at the close of this meeting, so that you cannot turn your profession to an obsession. Work is really God's idea. God did not institute the concept of work as punishment for Adam's sin. Even before He gave Adam a wife, a job, work, was first provided for him. It's not because the work will feed him. No. Everything was provided for in the garden. And He said, you know what? You need to work this garden. You need to protect this garden. You need to keep this garden. You need to be vigilant. But you see, your source and your provision comes from Me. And so work. I want you to repeat after me. Say, I love work.
I love work.
Say it loud and clear.
I love work.
And that's what is Genesis chapter 2 verse 15. Say, God took man and set him down in the Garden of Eden to walk the ground and to keep it in order. And to keep it in order. You are supposed to get to a place, and where there is disorder, you bring order. And there is nobody that will see you, that you come to his business, and you come to the place, or you are in that compound, you are in that that house, and the person that owns the house comes and sees his house later, and he sees his house better than he left it. There is nobody that will be angry with you and say, I arrest you. No. I've seen people, they enter people's houses, and when they leave the house, you'll be wondering whether they cook in the ceiling. And how the ceiling got broken in several places. Were they playing squash there? I don't understand. All the taps broken, and they will park at night. We'll be looking at today clearly how to become a standing. What I was saying just today was just introduction. How do I become a standing in the marketplace? How do I thrive? Because you know what? You are a city set on a hill. There are people that will not hear Jesus is Lord. They don't want it from your mouth. But your behavior is called lifestyle evangelism. It's your lifestyle evangelism. How do I become an astounding person? Joseph was in Potiphar's house, and the Bible says, and Potiphar did not do anything. The only thing Potiphar was what to eat and what to wear. That was his only decision. Everything was left for a slave boy, and he was less than 20 years. About 20 something, because they took him at, he was a surgeon for about 14 years. Because he became prime minister at 30. So don't say you are a small boy. You are 35. For crying loud, loud. You are 25. The Jewish culture takes a child into apprenticeship at the age of 12, 13. The first thing is intimacy. Somebody say intimacy. God does not have favorites, He has intimates. Intimacy. What is intimacy? Your success in life on your sphere of influence depends a lot on how well you can operate from an intimate relationship with God. That's your success. How? This morning I was praying, Lord, I want to hear your voice more. Moses was so astounding. He took the people, but he got to a place, said, I won't go until your presence goes with me. David said this one thing. And that's the one thing I will pursue, to be in your presence all the days of my life. David said, take not the Holy Spirit from me. No matter the job you do, let your intimacy with God not go. If that job wants to take away your intimacy, leave the job. He wants to kill you. In Genesis 41, 37 to 40, he said the plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, can we find anyone like this one? One in whom is the Spirit of God. A pagan king recognized something. He said, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all these things known to you, there's no one so discerning and wise as you. I met this young man. Is he a young man? Is he? It was an Uber driver that drove me to the airport. I said, I used to be in corporate America, but God told me that it's time for me to leave. And he began to confirm from other people, and he knew. The money was huge. And you know the funny thing about him? His name is Osayende. He has never been to Nigeria. He doesn't know Nigeria. He doesn't even know the meaning of the name. I said, I learned keyboard by the Holy Spirit teaching me how to play keyboard. He said, I played in Buckingham Palace. I was the one that played for the funeral service of George Bush. One thing that he said, I left. And people told me, don't come and ask for money. He said, no. And me, my practical reality kicked in. How are you getting money? He said, I don't know. He said, but I drive. And I just feel that God is preparing me for a face. I'm not saying you go and resign tomorrow. Because sometimes people just say, oh, that's what I get. But you see, you must be able to follow the leading of God. He's from Jamaica. He has not lived there before, but he has gone. But one other thing that was so good to me, he said, I want to please him. And I sent a message to our pastors, and I said, we need to start giving him prophetic word. As I was releasing the prophetic words, one of them said, yes, just, I heard that one before, over my life. Listen, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Man shall not. And I told them the meaning of his name. What does Osayende mean? God is the owner of what? Of? God is the owner of the day. Sometimes some say God is the owner of the earth. But you must, God is the owner of the way. What does this name say? You see, the greatest blessing God will give you is a name change. I will not let you go until you bless me. What's your name? Number two, audacity. Audacity. Audacity says, it can be defined as the courage to think big, a willingness to show initiative and take risk while facing the possibility of a failure. That's audacity. I remember the book that I read of Barack Obama. He has not said he was going to become president. He wrote two books, Dreams from My Father and Audacity of Hope. Can you have the courage? Start small, but think globally. Think big. You must be able to break barriers. You must be willing to show initiatives and take risks while facing the possibility of failure. One of our culture here is the culture of risk and faith. And faith is spelled as R-Y-S-K, risk. You need to take risks based on what you are hearing from God. And what you are hearing from God may not make sense to people around you. The Bible says in Genesis 37 verse 5, one night Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. He had the audacity to declare. This is the year of mouth. There are some things you start declaring today. I'm not saying declaration will complete it, but it will start it. Am I making sense? The key of your car will not drive the car, but it will start it. The Bible says in Genesis 7 verse 10, this time he told the dream to his father as well as to his brothers, but his father scolded him. What kind of dream is that? He asked. Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you? Declaring it. Some people say he would have not declared his dream, but you see, this was a normal thing in the household of Joseph. It was a house of dreamers. But his own dream scared them and brought out their poverty spirit. His father has always been dreaming. His grandfather dreamt. His great-grandfather dreamt. He was raised in the house of dreamers. May you never shut down your dream. Amen. One of the first laws of success is the ability to dream. It's that dreaming stage. Dreaming is different from the planning stage. Just dream. Close your eye now. You can be with Donald Trump in the Oval Office right now. Without visa, without ticket, without anything, you can be there. It's not expensive to dream. I remember we're here when Solomon Appiah said, he was listening to Dr. Bako, and he said, I will go abroad, I will get my master's, and I will work with Kofi Annan in the United Nations. In 5 years, he achieved it. How? Audacity. And what is God telling you? The next one is likability. Some of you call this eye service, but it's not eye service. You can't influence anybody that doesn't like you. Likeability can be defined as possessing the attractive attitudes and relational skills that causes others to want to work with you. Likeability. People say, I don't care. I say my mind. It doesn't matter who gets what. You don't have tact. For them to make children to take medicine. Some of you don't like medicine, but they put it in capsule. Very bitter. Why? Just to garnish the truth. So, you can't be astounding. It's either you are like Elijah throwing stone to the palace, or you are like Daniel or Joseph in the palace, or Ezra or Nehemiah in the palace. Nehemiah was so liked by his king. Who gave him order to go and rebuild the wall that they said they should not build? That's what likability does. It's not eye service. It's actually being able to have what is called relational skills. And you need to start developing that relational skills. Study more. There's your relationship life. There are people that come to a place, you just like them. And you say, they are trying to do, they are bootlicking. No, it's not about bootlicking. They will tell the person the same truth. And they will say it in closed door. The Bible says in Genesis 39 verse 2 to 4, so Joseph lived in the home of Potiphar, his Egyptian master, owner. Soon, Potiphar, somebody say soon. Potiphar realized that the Lord was helping Joseph to be successful in whatever he did. Potiphar liked Joseph and made him his personal assistant, putting him in charge of his household and all his property. A slave. You don't even know the father, you don't know the mother. Whether he has household wickedness, we don't know. You can't carry the Holy Spirit that is love and not be likable. If you are not likable, there's something. That's why I tell people always laugh. When you want to go home, out, stay in the mirror and say. Some of you will say, hey, wait till you make person that go, you're the smile. Listen, smile. That's why if you don't know how to smile, start singing. You cannot be frowning and singing. Where is you? You can't be singing. You can't. Just have worship around you. Have joyful song around you. You can't be sad. May your bosses like you. May those that want to promote you like you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In Proverbs 3:3-4, it says, never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people. And you will earn a good reputation. What do you need to tie? Loyalty and kindness. I can't forget what my boss taught me one time. Went to market UBTH. And when we're going, he gave those people, I don't advise this, and he just talked to the reception, all those things, very nicely. And when we're going, you know, he told me, he said, those are the ones that will tell you when he's around. Sometimes you go to office, the cleaner, you'll be looking at him anyhow. Say, now, God, I can't see you. Tie loyalty. What's loyalty? And we'll talk about that. And kindness. You can't be kind and not be liked. In Luke 2:52, Jesus said Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and what? And in favor with God and with all the people. Can I say something to you? David will not ascend the throne. He had favor with God, but no favor with people. It when favor with people came that they made him king over Hebron. You have all the manifesto. You have all the things to shine. But listen to me. It's somebody that will write the promotion letter. It's somebody that will recommend. I'm telling you. I'm not saying you should bootleg. But you cannot follow God and understand his principles and work with the principles. And actually, do you know really? The fruit of the Spirit is relational skills. If you grow in the fruit of the Spirit, is how God wants us to live. Kindness, patience, love, peace. Your relational skill is being developed. The next one is capacity. Somebody say capacity. You can't do without this. I thank God you are born again. But when you do operation, 4 people die, only 1 survive out of 5. And what is capacity? Capacity can be defined as potential for growth. The desire to keep learning so that you can increase in competence and handle greater responsibility. That's capacity. The potential for growth. Don't do what you are expected to do. Read more about what you are supposed to do and extra. You don't have a job, develop your capacity. Because the opportunity will present itself one day. And when you have a job, you see some people, they are in the job, they train them for training. They will be sleeping in the hotel room. All they are looking for is a star code. And people have been given opportunities. Now, let me tell you, there are some times they will not promote you, but they will give you responsibilities. Receive it. It will increase you. I remember every time the two New Generation Bank I worked for long, I was the one writing the budget of the bank, of the brand. One time as an entry level, I defended the budget of the brand before the regional directors. That means that sometimes I will close by 11 p.m. I will tell all of them, bring them, I'm the one consolidating it. You know why? Even when I got to another place and the other person who became a manager was by saying, you know what you do before now. And all those things. I remember one time my manager told me one time, he said, if not pigeon now, this memo you don't write down quick. He has corrected me. I will put dot where dot full stop is not here, put comma where it's not supposed to be. And I ask myself, I'm a graduate now. But it's memo. So I had to go to all the systems in Lagos because we are connected. So I will be browsing how to write memo, how to do it, do memo. And I didn't have to cook. I went to buy Brighter Grammar, book 1-3. You can learn from everybody. You can learn from a defeated person. You can learn from somebody that is a champion. Capacity. In Genesis 39:5, it says, from the day Joseph was put in the charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. All his household affairs ran smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. Capacity. I'm sure Joseph will be asking God, how do I take care of this livestock? Because capacity has to do with three dimensions: spiritual capacity, emotional capacity, physical capacity. And you must learn how to say the right prayers. Bring your problem before him. When there's problem in your job, don't say, now they get the work. No. And that's what you will say, when I get my own. Not beyond this one. I've heard too much. Listen, you will play as you practice. You think it's easy to have your own business? Listen, Panwe must sell. If you are the owner of the business, I remember listening one time to the owner of Costaris. He said, my staff can go and buy $200 shoe. I cannot. He said, because if this business collapses, they have certificate, they'll go to another place. For me, when you are busy sleeping to wake up by 9 o'clock, the person that owns the business is calculating. It's calculating. It's not here that people, where you are supposed to pay your salary 25th, you go and pay them on the 5th of next month. No. One of our companies in Nigeria was ejected from South Africa because of all those things. In some countries, it's 25th. 25th, the alert must show. Because by 26th or even later than 25th, debits are coming to their account. And so you must understand that you need to develop, as the owner of a business, you must develop capacity. Take yourself for training. Go and get that book. Read that book. Listen to that message. Go for that conference. Pay for it. Stop looking for free things. Stop looking for free things. Free things to give you free stuff. Yes. You buy shoe for 15,000, but you don't go for a conference for 15,000. And that's the bane here. Some people say, oh, in conferences in Nigeria, they raise seat. Yes, they will raise seat because in America, when you go for conference, you pay $200. If 1,000 people pay $200, how much is that? They don't need to collect offering. But I've gone to conference, I've registered, they collect offering from me too. We brought it to the benchmark here. We have closed service. We refused it. We forgot that we didn't take offering. And you told some people, buy the message, 3,000. Say, eh? Eh? How many minutes? You are joking. I'm telling you, that's the best thing. I listened to Joe Bismarck one time. He said, I was broke, my wife pregnant, and nothing happening, and I had $2,000. And I invested the $2,000 in four books, and the rest is history. You are not doing anybody any harm by not developing yourself. You are doing yourself harm. The next one is reliability. I need to run now. Reliability can be defined as earning the trust of others by always keeping your promises and fulfilling your responsibilities, even if it requires sacrifice. Even if it requires sacrifice. Are you a reliable person? Are you a reliable person? That people will rely on you and they will call you. Don't write so much. If you want it, you get the, when you get the message online, they will give you the PowerPoint free. Amen. It's part of it. In Genesis 39:6, it says, Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food to eat. Can your boss go to sleep because you are there? Can God go to sleep or be calm and say, oh, Nathaniel's in Nigeria, don't worry. Don't worry, I've given my friend, I'm giving my son, he's starting a business, he's there. What he has can recruit about 2,000 people in Benin City. Because we're not only talking about promotion from your company, we're talking about ultimate promotion from God. We're here when the owner of OU Technica came here and he said, during reposition, he has 500 staff. That means that he has reduced unemployment by 500 people. So your business is not mammoth work. The sixth one is loyalty. I told people recently, and I've been saying it since last year, God will start rewarding people now for loyalty and a good name. So if you have been steadfast, you have not been bending corners and everything, remember. You have been loyal to people, loyal to that organization, remember. Even if the person does not promote you, get ready. What's loyalty? Loyalty can be defined as being faithful to your boss and God when difficulty tests your commitment. When difficulty tests your emotion. You know, let me tell you, one of the things I see most times in this thing is that we like to take excuse too much. Why do you not do this? You have 5 reasons. Like they pay me now. More than all, they rain for. But when I tell you, meet me tomorrow, I'll give you 1 million. You have to meet me on time because I will leave the house by 5 a.m. Then you will see loyalty in its ultimate. You are not loyal to anybody, you are loyal to your own needs. In Genesis 39:7-9, Joseph was very handsome and well-built young man. And Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. Come and sleep with me, she demanded. But Joseph refused. Look, he told her, my master trusts me with everything in his household, in his entire household. Look at what they said in verse 1. No one has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It will be a great sin, not against Potiphar, but against God. If you are loyal to man, you will fail. But if your loyalty is ultimately to God, you won't fail. Your boss may not. Does it not shock you that the way people steal from businesses, you're giving a trust. And the things under your care and you take it. Let's not go too far. When do you resume and what time do you sign? Integrity. Integrity is gotten from the word integer. Integer means a whole number. It's what you see, is what you get. Most of us, we live a veiled life. What you are at home is not what you are outside. You have a different lifestyle at home. You had a different lifestyle in church. You had a different lifestyle in your work. My wife wrote something one time that became some. Don't let people lose respect for Jesus because of your character. Integrity can be defined as practicing in secret the values and beliefs you claim to hold in public, not compartmentalizing your life. Practicing in secret. Practicing the values you hold dearly. How can a gate man return money it's found in a bank? A security man. Does it not shock you, Nana? We have a philosophy in our nation today that until you are corrupt, you can't make it. It's a hidden philosophy. In Genesis 39:10, she kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day, but he refused to sleep with her, and he kept her. And he kept out of her way as much as possible. That means that he didn't want to be in the same place with him and he, with her and him alone. Doesn't want. Integrity. Integrity will see, how do you treat that girl you are dating and you say you want to marry her? Sometimes I see people date three girls in the same church and they are promised them marriage. It's a covenant though. You're a covenant breaker. In the course of heaven, something will be there. Can you protect a girl from your own desires? And for us who are married, and I try to tell Ben this, the moment you start doing something for a lady, there's a tendency for the lady to want to tell you thank you. Even with her body. Especially the ones that are broken. Because there was no father figure to actually show them that. And you think you are the reigning guy in time. You are not. In the long run, they will respect you in the long run. And they will honor you when they know that you could have taken advantage and you did not do it. Integrity is key to becoming outstanding. People will call you. They will call you and say, go and meet that person. The ones that don't even agree with you, they say, you want to do, I believe in me. You're not going to play ball. But they cannot do without you because you know why? You have capacity. Even when they want to do bad, they'll come and ask you for your opinion. Because they themselves don't want to get into trouble. Warning, don't let your vocation become an obsession. How many of you, when you are resting at home, you feel guilty? Raise up your hand. You feel guilty when you are resting. Raise up your hand. Raise up your hand. You feel guilty when you are resting. You are a confirmed workaholic. Yeah. Don't use your vocation to medicate your brokenness. Sometimes, take a day off. Take a month off. Take a week off. You know what makes you to be a workaholic? Three things. Insecurity. Insecurity. You are not secure in who you are. Something is telling you, make some. Even when you get breakthrough, you say never reach. You are not secure in what's saying that you are my son. Another thing is worry, fear. You are afraid that you will not, you fear. There's a, you wake up in the night. Ah! Are they asleep? No. Another one is greed. You want what your neighbor has. Bible says, thou shalt not covet. Rise up on your feet. In Proverbs 23, verse 4, it says, do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Only someone too stupid to find his way home will wear himself out with work. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 15. Show restraint. I want to pray for two sets of people. Sorry, we may take some time. There are people here, you have been wounded by your bosses. You've been wounded by your bosses. And you have taken a vow. You've taken a vow. In the next session, I'll be dealing on the laws of promotion and giving you practical reality on some things. I've been in the marketplace that I've been here. The principles that works here also works there. It's God's principle. His voice is also in the marketplace. If you have been bruised by your bosses and you have told yourself, I will only do what I'm supposed to do. I won't go the extra mile. I want you to know that you are not working for yourself. You are working for the Lord. Can I get the prayer ministers to come? Come. Come. You have been bruised by your bosses. You have been bruised by your bosses. You have been bruised by your bosses. There are also people here. There are also people here. Some of your employees have bruised you. You recruit people, they steal from you. And you have told yourself, never again. I won't trust anybody. I'm still calling for you. Maybe you are not even the owner of the business, but you are a boss. And people you have trusted have bruised you. Please come. No shame, no judgment. Let's pray for you. Let's pray for you. Some of you ladies, you have even been sexually harassed. I'll give you a quick example. Somebody here, the boss we even sent her to go and buy tomatoes. We're not talking about a place of this thing. We're talking about high level, the highest office that you need to work in. And she came to you call for Desert Place here on the 1st of November, I will give my letter. And finally told the boss in the meeting and said, this is what you do. She submitted the letter and the boss higher than the boss said, please, can you tear this letter? We won't take it because we know you. You're not working for yourself. You're not working for that boss. You know the funniest thing? She gave her letter and they said, no, don't do it. And they took her to another place to go and give her an interview. Say, we'll take you there. A day or two later, everybody in her category was sacked. You can't beat the voice of God. Don't you? My boss disgraced me in front of everybody. It was a pool office, so he tore my memo in front of everybody, threw it to me, and said, "If I'm pidgin English, you'll write and quick." I didn't become bitter, I became better. Bitterness will stop your promotion. If you are such a person, come. And if you're standing there, please just join your hands with somebody and begin to pray, "Lord, in this season, we thrive in our calling. We thrive in our career." Come on, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Owners of businesses, people have hurt you badly. They've stolen from you. And if you're watching us by way of World Wide Web, please pray. You need people to achieve that vision. The ones that came were not the ones that understood the vision. The Josephs are coming. The Josephines are coming. They are coming. Come on, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Can I hear you pray? "Lord, we'll thrive in our calling. Help us to make a shift where there is no shift. Help us." Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life-transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.